blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1, 3, 4, 5 and 6. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1, 3 through 6 of Psalter 387.
privilege to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 66, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 66, to the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant did say, come and see the works of the Lord. Oh, that we also may be given such a desire to say unto one another, come and see what the Lord has done for my soul. For there is no man that has been delivered by thee, and that will not exalt thee above measure, above all things here upon this world. And Lord, thou knowest all of our hearts. We are conceived and born in sin. And if thou wilt not stop us on our mad career, we will continue on in it, even in a religious way, even to our death, and then we shall magnify thy righteous judgments in gnashing our teeth forever and forever. O Lord, convert us unto thee, that we might magnify thy mercy, that we may magnify thy grace, that thy dear Son, who is so pleasing in thy sight, and thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, may also be pleasing in our sight and in the sight of our children and grandchildren. Oh, then we need to be born again, and then it all must come from thy side. For we have no desire after thee, except thou plantest it us in us for the first time or by renewal. O Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is son of man that thou visitest him? But thou doest it not for our sakes, but thou doest it for thy great name's sake, which is so very worthy to be honored, to be magnified, and to be glorified. O Lord, take reasons then out of thyself to bless the administration of both word and sacrament also amongst us. And when we hope in the coming week to be able, when thou wilt give it, to gather in thy house of prayer, not only for the bringing of thy word, but also for the administration of that visible sacrament which thou hast commanded, saying, do this in remembrance of me. But then it is necessary that we are turning inwards unto ourselves, O Lord, that thou thyself might examine us and give us honesty in thy most holy sight, to say with thy servant, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my reins, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting, for one day we will stand at thy judgment seat, and publicly before all men, then we shall be examined before thee, even as thy servant Peter, when thou didst say three times unto him, lovest thou me? Oh, then he could say with all his heart, Lord, thou knowest all things. It is all naked and open before him with whom I have to do. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, that it may be burning in the heart of thy own dear children. And when it is not, then thou knowest where that they are, and thou art able to make it burn again as it has in the time that is gone by. Do remember each and every one of them in the condition of their life. For thou knowest that what thou hast given here upon this world, all life is from thee. Thou art the origin of it. Thou art the creator of it. Thou givest it in a natural way. Thou givest it also in a spiritual way. And thou carest for thy natural creatures, much more wilt thou care for thy own people, whom thou hast brought into that new spiritual life. O Lord, remember them, each and every one, because there are those who, as of Ruth of old, did come upon the fields of Boaz, but she did not know who Boaz was. Then she had no inkling, she had no idea, she came only to gather some sheaves as a poor woman, to glean a little among the reapers if she could get a little bit to eat. O Lord, thou knowest where they are. And when thou hast given love in their hearts, when they may say from the bottom of their heart, entreat me not to leave thee, where thou diest, I will die, and where thy people are, they also shall be my people, and thy God, he shall be my God. O Lord, give it also unto them. When they come upon the fields of Boaz, and they do not know who that greater Boaz is, and yet thou didst give thy servants a command to leave a little behind on purpose for her, that they may gather in abundance, and then she may go home so glad with what she had. O Lord, thou knowest where thy people are. Remember them, feed them, O Lord, that new life, that it may hunger and thirst, and that it may obey thy command. Go not into any other field, and but stay here fast by my maidens. And thou dost reveal thyself on thy time to thy people. And thou dost invite them also to dine, and thou givest them thyself corn. O Lord, that thou may remember them where that they are, O bring to an end of all self-righteousness and self-strength and self-wisdom, and that man may become less and less and nothing, and that thou may become more and more and everything, yea, the altogether lovely. And then thou must show thyself through the lattice, a little bit here and a little bit there, and thy people will long for thee. Oh, give them a little food, Lord, that they may eat a little, that they might drink a little, that the meek might eat and be satisfied. And then they shall magnify thy great and glorious name, and they shall desire to be in thy church with thy people. And they shall desire that others also may be brought in. Oh, give then in the midst of us a good week together, and a good day together, an hour together, and next week also, around about word and sacrament, look thou upon us in the times wherein we are, and that thou wouldest put away all that could bother, and that thou mayest give thy children a little rest and a little entrance by that true and that saving faith into that blessed grace and mercy that thou hast provided for the chiefest of the sinners in this world. O Lord, remember us then in thy mercy. Care for all and the needy and the afflicted and the sick ones that are in this world, widows, widowers, orphans, and all those that have special needs. Wilt thou care and wilt thou show that thou art still alive and that thou carest for the poor and for the needy, and that thou mayest bless also those outward conditions, that it may be for an inward blessing. Magnify thy name amongst the heathen, amongst the Gentiles in this world, those who know not thee and that call not upon thy name. Oh, that thou mayest make it known over the length and breadth of this whole world, and also the nation in which we live ourselves. And when there are so many about us, and when atheism and a false religion is so rampant amongst us, oh, that thou may give a turning unto thee, and give us also the ability, the strength, and the courage by times to open our mouths unto our fellow man who is perishing beside us, that thou may give thy word to go forth over the length and breadth of the whole world, upon the mission field where thy servant does labor, and all that are with him, and all those that bring thy word in places where it is not desired by governments. And wilt thou protect, help, strengthen, and encourage them with blessings upon thy holy word, that thy kingdom might come and thy will might be done. And do remember all that rule and reign over us. Give them wisdom, strength, courage. Give the people obedience. And that we all together may bow under the King of heaven and of earth. And that the Prince of this world, that his devices may be put away. That our children would not be drawn after that which will bring them into that eternal pit, but in the days of their youth may be given to seek for the true God. Remember our teachers, principals, the school board, and all that labor for the good of our children. Grant them yet in these coming weeks still a little rest, and now, and when they will begin to prepare once again to receive our youth at their feet, oh, that thou may grant them grace. Lord, help them. Oh, feed their own souls, that they may be given to stand there as one who knows nothing before Thee and who must be taught of Thee, and that Thou mayest teach them, that they may teach and instruct our children, and that there may be blessings out of Thy heavenly store undeservedly given. Wilt Thou look upon all those that have special needs that are hidden in the places where we do not know them. Remember those who receive treatments for serious diseases, those who have received surgeries and do recover, and those that undergo tests, the many cares and concerns and fears. O Lord, that Thou may supply for doctors and nurses and first responders and all that help others in this world. And give us also an undeserved blessing in this hour. Lord, help us to bring Thy word. Wilt Thou put away for a moment in this afternoon all that can trouble us in mind, in body, and in soul. Oh, that Thou Thyself may give attentiveness to Thy holy word in easy preaching, and that Thou may Thyself administer out of Thy fullness grace for grace. To whom else shall we go, O Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and who is sufficient to take forth and the precious from the vial as Thou hast commanded us. But, Lord, wilt Thou Thyself help us and do it for Thy great name's sake and for the benefit of our poor, never-dying souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 115, stanzas 1 through 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? Stanzas 1 through 4 of Psalter 115. Beloved congregation, we enter in this Sabbath day a week of preparation for the Holy Supper of the Lord. And that we know that it is necessary, each one, to examine ourselves according to the Word of God. What does that mean? That means that we need to search. We need to search within ourselves whether there is any evidence of a new life. Is there any evidence of a new life in your soul? The Lord says that we must be born again. And if we are born, then the moment we are born, we begin to breathe. There is a breath, a natural breath. Is there also a spiritual breath? Because that breath is able to be discerned by persons who may do such a breathing. What are the characteristics of that new life? The apostle says there are three things: faith, hope, and love. Do they live in your heart? They are born in that new birth. Not that a newborn person can begin to tell about it, children, because your little brother or sister cannot speak about his life, right? He has to grow up some, and then he may realize that he has also life, because people with life, they have certain characteristics. They have breath, and they have love. They have desire. They have a will. All those things, they belong unto that new life. The bride, she says, "I am black, but comely." Those are now the things that are necessary to know. In the first place, she says, "I am black." That must be the confession of our heart. Was it ever? The rich young ruler did not say, "I am black." Pharisees did not say, "I am black." Apostle Paul, he was also at one time a Pharisee. And then he did not say, "I am black." Much to do with the law, but more to do with tradition. And it is not so hard to keep our own traditions, but now to keep that law and to understand in the keeping of that law, not as the rich young ruler, that I am a holy man and that all these things I have kept from my youth up, but that law is doing just the opposite, as the apostle says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thus there came a time that also Saul became a Paul. And the Lord came with his law, and then Paul, he said, "I am black." And then the Lord comes. And then the Lord comes, because we need more than to say, "I am black." That will not save us. The bride says, "I am black, but comely." That is now the other part, and Paul said that too. When did he say that? Oh, he said, when it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. Oh, then he may see something. And that blackness, how long did that last? To the end of his life. To the end of his life. And yet, there came a time he may say,
There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All those are now things that are so necessary for us to know. I am black, but comely. They are the lessons that are learned by the experience of true saving faith that works hope, that works love, love to whom? Especially to the Son, to whom, of whom the Father said, He is my beloved Son. Then we begin to agree with God the Father. Is it surprising that the bride misses Him then? When in those times that she is not able to exercise that faith, or that she feels it, that she knows the difference, and that she desires that that time would pass away and that a new time would come, that is now the life of the church. We have heard a little of it last week, how she missed Him, how she sought Him, and how that He returned again to her. And we wish to continue a little bit in this afternoon from the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, beginning with the second part of verse 4 to verse 6. Song of Solomon 3, verses 4b to 6. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? So far the words of our text, which speaks of the recovered bride. First, holding her beloved, she writes, we read, I held him and would not let him go, holding her beloved. Second, bringing him into her mother's house until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Third, charging the daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And last, marveled at by the daughters of Jerusalem, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? The recovered bride, first holding her beloved, second bringing him into her mother's house, third charging the daughters of Jerusalem, and fourth marveled at by the daughters of Jerusalem, I held him and would not let him go. Do we understand that? Because his nearness and his felt presence, that was the fruit of something. That was the fruit of many tears. That was a fruit of an honest confession. That was a fruit of true repentance. That was a fruit of returning again unto the Lord. And when that is now obtained, and she gets what she sorely missed and what she has sought after with all her heart, then surely she is prizing that thing which she has now gained. She begins to understand a little more of that great benefit. I held him and would not let him go. Is that not understandable? That is what we do with the things that are in this world, and that we labor for, and that we give our whole life for. And we finally get them, and what do? We do not just let them go again. No, but we try to hold on to them. Oh, maybe that is one of the reasons that the Lord makes it so difficult to find him again, people of the Lord, in order that we may prize him, and when we may have him, and that we would not so easy once again let him go. She says, I held him, because there is nothing so pleasant and there is nothing so lovely in the midst of this world than to feel something of the nearness of the Lord and the favor of the Lord. That is actually a little taste of what it shall be for God's people when they are delivered from themselves and when they are received up into glory. Do you think that God's people have any desire to return to this earth? No, there they may enjoy a sweetness that they have tasted here upon this world, just a little bit of already here below, in its perfection, without sin anymore. And now the bride, she desires to retain what she may have. She desires to live in that condition for the rest of her life, because of the sweetness, because of the comfort. When she has experienced that in the house of God, oh, then she wants just to sit there, and she does not want to leave that house of God anymore. Then she says in her heart, oh, minister, go on. Go on, go on, because as soon as I leave that door, then there is everything in the world that is going to come in between, and it is going to take away from me that blessed sweetness, and that I may now enjoy the relief that is experienced in their soul, even when it is only a possibility. Only a possibility, and not yet the application, because there is a difference between what we call the revelation of Christ and the application of Christ. When Christ shows to a man who he is, when he reveals himself in his impossibility, and when he gives the application, when he makes it his own, when she may embrace him, when she may say, he is mine and I am his, when her sin may be forgiven, when she may be justified in the sight of a triune God, those are different things. But now every time, even when it is in the beginning, even when it is in the revelation of Christ, when he is opening that way, oh, then there is something of this that bride is speaking about here. When she says, I held him and would not let him go. Then she speaks about the activity of faith. Boys and girls, can you speak about activity sometimes? You say, I did this, I did that, I rode my bike,
I went here, I went there. You know what happened, don't you? You know it. These people know it too. Because it is not just something in their head, but it is something that took place in their heart, in their soul. It had to do with their whole soul, with their mind, with their will, their choice, with the love of their heart. And then they know. And then they can remember what has taken place. And then they have said in those moments, they have said, I held him. I would not let him go. Free grace. If we feel our unworthiness, that has to go before. Because if that does not go before, and then we do not experience the same thing. But free grace, that is not easy to receive for a man. It isn't. Because if we receive something for nothing, that means we have to be a beggar. What do you say, boys and girls? You say, I will do it. Yeah, we all say that because we are members of Help Yourself. That is that broken covenant, but we don't believe it. And so now, to experience that we cannot, to experience that we will not, to experience that it is corruption from the crown of the head to the sole of our feet, the impossibility of ever coming righteous before God, then we have to receive it all for nothing. And we resist it until the Lord lays us on the ground, until the Lord makes it impossible. Thus we say it is not easy. No, it is an act of true saving faith. And that alone, that is a gift of the Spirit of the Lord. And now when a person feels that, he knows how difficult that actually is. And then he can feel it in that moment, what faith is. And that is such a blessed thing. Ask God's children to describe it to you. Then they will lack words. But in that moment, when faith may come into exercise, in the revelation of that blessed mediator for a helpless and for an undone creature, oh, then there is a desire to hold on to him, to hold on to it, to stay there. You know what Bunyan said when he brought his pilgrim up that hill difficulty, and then he sees that cross that is not actually the revelation, that is the application, but then it is the same, because then we read, I looked and I looked again. Why? Oh, he wanted to stay there. He wanted to stay there because that is congregation heaven on earth. I looked and I looked again. Oh, then he says in his heart, Lord, let me stay here. Let me just look and look and look and look. O people of the Lord, you have had a little look. Do you know that one day that looking will never stop? Oh, then your eyes shall behold him, we read, and not another. Oh, how the tears will flow from your eyes everlastingly with that looking upon him, with that acknowledging of him. I held him, the bride says, and would not let him go. Oh, Christ, he is willing to be held there in that place. May that be your experience also, some of you. The Lord said to Jacob, let me go.
Jacob says, I will not let thee go. You say, that was bold. Yeah, that is holy boldness. Holy boldness. I will not. Oh, Lord, I cannot let thee go. Except thou bless me. And we read he prevailed over the Lord. Oh, then the Lord does not go. No, then the Lord gives his blessing. Oh, the Lord is willing. He is willing to be held. Blessed wrestling, isn't it? To wrestle with God. To wrestle with Christ. The wrestling of faith over the promise of the Lord to a wretched and a guilty sinner. Over the covenant of the Lord sworn in eternity. And brought forth in the time for sinners like as I am, O faith. That is such a blessed thing. More blessed than all that we can do in this world. That blessed exercise of faith. Why do you think God's children, they have such a desire to exercise faith? Oh, they feel that is a gift. They feel and experience they don't have a hand to take it. They don't have feet to go. But when the Lord will now give it, then it is so altogether different. Faith, that is a spiritual act of our soul. That is of the mind. The mind, then there is knowledge. Oh, then there is a choice. It is the choice of the will. Then there is love, love in the affections, that is the whole man. It is the whole heart that is involved in that spiritual activity that is going out after our Maker not only, but also the Redeemer. Oh, how much more then is included. Bride, she knew two things. She knew carnality. And she knew that blessed faith. She knew both. What did she say was the most blessed? Oh, she said, that was faith. That was that spiritual communion. And when I had that, oh, then I said, I held him. And I would not let him go. Brings us to our second thought. Bringing him into her mother's house, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. What is that? My mother's house. The visible church is sometimes in God's word called the mother of his people. The visible church. Because it is in that visible church that she is conceived, that spiritual life is conceived, and that spiritual life is brought forth, and that's where that spiritual life is nourished. The milk of the word, we read, that spiritual meat. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, the Apostle Paul says, which is the mother of us all. What did he speak about? He spoke about the Jew and the Gentile being in the church. That was the New Testament church. Thus, that church possesses ordinances. It is ordinances for the family of the Lord. For the children of the Lord, for the people of the Lord. Is that visible church a perfect church? Is your mother perfect? The mothers will not say that. But maybe some of us will say that of our mother. Right, children, young people? You say, I would not want another mother. I hope not. And if she has a fault, then what? Then you will despise her? Oh, no. Then you still love her. Why do you still love her? Oh, she is my mother. She brought me forth. She fed me. It was all in the Lord's doing. Oh, then it is right that you love your mother, even if your mother has many faults. And thus that is also with this mother. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Oh, she loves her mother. She loves that church. And she wants to share her blessing with other persons that are in that visible church. Doesn't speak here just about God's people. No, it speaks about everyone, the visible church, because the daughters of Jerusalem, they have citizens' rights. They certainly have citizens' rights when they are born again, but in the Bible we read, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Thus, there are some that are not born again, but they have citizens' rights in an outward way. Thus, sometimes those daughters of Jerusalem, they are referred to as those who are in that visible church. And now the Lord is coming in the life of his bride. He is returning to her, and now there is love. Oh, that is love that is burning to him. But there is love that is burning also to everyone else. Oh, then you love the world, then you love your enemies. Then you love especially, the apostle says, that people of the Lord. Oh, then that mother's house. Oh, and then she wants to bring him there. Oh, she knows that he is not always there. He is not always there with his spirit. Oh, then she desires that he would come there. Oh, she desires to magnify him there, his great goodness, his great grace. But she also wants to give cheer to those members of the household. The righteous then shall gather round to share that blessing that I have found. Oh, she desires that there may also be others that are in that visible church. They may be conceived to that spiritual life. Oh, she desires that there are also, because she knows there are others that miss him, because that is common in the church. That was in her life too. I sought him, but I found him not. And now she says, until I have brought him into my mother's house, then I want to bring him there to those who cannot find him, who desire also to see him once again. And I like to say unto the people, fear not, though succor be delayed. Still wait for God, and he will hear. Oh, then pray on, and continue on, and read on, and search on. Oh, those desires of the bride, they are the desires of the lively exercise of faith. You say, how can that be obtained, that she can bring him into her mother's house? Oh, you say she can open her mouth. Yes, she can speak to everyone. Ah, you say, but I don't have a character to do that because I am very, very shy. Yes, that can be different characters, but and there will be sometimes, oh, there will be sometimes, the most shy one, then the stones will cry out if they still hold their peace. And yet here there is more. There is more. Because what does she say? I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Oh, then she is wrestling, not with them, but with him. She is wrestling with him. And she is wrestling with him in the exercises of true saving faith. That is powerful, very powerful. Why? Because the Lord will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Do you know what the bride said to the daughters of Jerusalem? Oh, at one point she says to them, if you find my beloved, if you find him, tell him something from me, that I am sick of love. What did she know? She knew the power in the exercises of faith when the people may find him and when they may exercise that faith. Oh, James, he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is what she knows. That is what she knows. And now here she knows it also the other way around. Oh, she feels it. When she may have him, when she may hold him, and when she will not let him go. Oh, she says, now is the time. Now is the time that she may lay before him the needs of mother and of father, of wife, of husband, of children, of church, of everyone. They are laying on her heart. I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house. Oh, that mother, she has so much love in her heart for that mother that has conceived her, where she has grown up, where she has been nurtured. And then she sees others in that house of God. Oh, then she says, Lord, come, come, give also conception, give also growth. Come with thy spirit also to thy own people. Give new ones now, O Lord. Oh, while she has his ear, and then she is not letting him go until she may bring him into her mother's house. Let us sing 283, stanzas 1 and 2. Oh, come my soul, bless thou the Lord thy maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 283.
the recovered bride, first holding her beloved, second bringing him into her mother's house, third charging the daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. What is it? It is a solemn charge of the bride unto that visible church. For what? For carefulness. For carefulness. That she will do nothing to make that bridegroom to depart once again. And she speaks about this as something which is very, very easy to do. Just as easy as waking up someone who is sleeping. Boys and girls, if your father or your mother is taking a little rest, then it will be said to you, you must be now very quiet. Be very quiet. You must go, as it were, on your tippy toes, that you do not wake them up, that they can still sleep. And that is now what this bride is doing. Why? Because spiritual matters are very tender. They are tender to God's people, and they are tender to the Lord Himself. And they are very easily disrupted by things that are carnal. And now that bride, she has experienced that it is very difficult to come into that blessed condition of saving faith and to receive communion with that bridegroom. But she says it is very, very easy to lose it. The slightest provocation to stir him up, and then he may withdraw himself, being offended, and then it is not so easy to get him to come back again. She knew that. Or when Judah and Israel had sinned against the Lord, then the Lord says, I will go and I will return unto my place until they seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. That is now the fear of that bride. Oh, she says things can happen. They can happen in that visible church to cause that people of the Lord to lose that blessed communion. Oh, the church congregation is a unity, and we have to smart for the sins of one another. Oh, then there were those in Israel and in Judah who had left the Lord, and the Lord sent that whole nation into captivity for 70 years. And therefore, it is right that that bride, she is charging, she is not using just gentle words. No, she is here being very earnest. Oh, she has, as it were, fierce words for that visible church. And she charges them. Oh, she adjures them, the word that means to cause them actually to take an oath. To do what? To be quiet. To be quiet. And to be careful that we do nothing to cause him grief. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And how is that charge received by those daughters of Jerusalem?
What do we read? We read, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and with all the powders of the merchant?" Then we have the answer of those daughters of Jerusalem, that visible church, and she sees something. Oh, she observes that bride of the bridegroom. And you know what she says? "I cannot recognize her. I cannot recognize her. Who is this?" Oh, did she not know her? Sure, she knew her. But not like this. She had seen her, and she knew her in her poor condition. She had seen her in her missing condition. Oh, sometimes even a somewhat lazy condition. And now she sees her, and it is very different. Who is this? Oh, what a difference does the felt presence, the felt nearness, and the favor of the Lord make to God's true people. It makes a great difference within, but there is also a great difference without, in that which may be observed in the midst of the church. Who is this? Do I even know her? Who cometh out of the wilderness? Oh, that is how that they knew her. Maybe they knew her that way already for many, many years. Maybe that is the only way that the children and the young people have ever seen her and have ever known her. People, young people, say, actually, they're always complaining. Always complaining. Do you know where the Lord leads his people? He leads them through the wilderness. Through the wilderness. And I know, young people, what comes against the truth in our days. And then they say it is not that way. Here it is in the Word of God. Will you believe it then? It is in the Word of God. We have read it also from Psalm 66. You read it again when you come home. How the Lord is leading his people. And I know that there is so much from the side of the people that is wrong. And the Lord knows it too. And that is probably why that he has to lead them so through that wilderness. That you say, is that a people to be jealous of? And God's children, they have only their own fault. But now that bride, the Lord is leading her out. And now those daughters of Jerusalem, they may see it. A people, they thought it is all dried up. They thought it too. They thought it too. And now that bride, she may say, or the daughters of Jerusalem, they may say, "Who is this?" that cometh out of that wilderness. The Lord will lead them out, young people. That complaining people, they don't complain about the Lord, do they? Do they? They have only themselves to complain about. And they will say over and over how good that the Lord is. And I know it is not good for you to see, Lord, we would say. If that people, they could always be living in that blessed condition. But you know what it is then? Then it is heaven on the earth. Then it is heaven on the earth. They would never desire to leave here. And you may see it. And you may observe it in that people. But open now your eyes once. And see also these moments that the Lord is coming. And that the Lord is visiting. And they may get a little something from the Lord. And now see once, now listen once to that people who may desire him to come into their mother's house. That you may see that people so different than they were before, as much then as those daughters of Jerusalem had perhaps all thought to despise that bride because of her wilderness condition. So much now, oh, they say, who is this? Then they may see a bride that may be lifted up above all that is in this world. Oh, they may then, or maybe some of them, may even be jealous. Maybe jealous of that portion, or are there some sometimes that may be jealous, wholly jealous, of that blessed portion of the Lord, when the Lord is coming in the life of his people, when the Lord is opening his word, when the Lord is blessing his sacrament, when the Lord is taking away all their doubts, all their fears, when the Lord gives them a little rest in his covenant, then they say, who is this? Oh, is that one I have despised? Is that one I had said he has nothing? And I said I have all the riches of this world, and I am glad I have the riches of this world, because I would not want to live in the affliction of that people. And now I see it different. Who is this? If they have the back to the world, their treasure is not in this world. And now I see they have a treasure. And now I see something they have that I do not have. Who is this? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and with all the powders of the merchant, like pillars of smoke that have gone up from that altar of incense on a calm day, that straight column, the incense poured over those coals. From that altar of burnt offering and that smoke going up, and that is perfume, that is a sweet smelling savor unto God as pillars of smoke. Oh, that bride, when she is coming out of that wilderness condition, oh, she is acceptable. She is so acceptable unto God. She is perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and with all the powders of the merchant. Oh, what does Christ do to that people? They are in themselves so black, and they feel themselves so worthy to be cast from that presence of the Lord. And now that presence and that nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what is it making that people in the eyes of a righteous and a holy God? Sweet-smelling savor. Oh, you understand, it is all because of his own only begotten Son.
And now even that visible church, she is wandering. Oh, she is looking at that bride. And she is marveling at that bride, not for her trials. No, she is marveling at that bride for the grace of God that is given unto her. Oh, maybe a desire, but seeing in her now a beauty that far transcends the most lovely things that can be found in this world. Who is this? And distinguishing her from the world, distinguishing her even from that visible church. There is that church, but who is this? Who is this? That heavenly mindedness, that back to the world and Christ everything for the people. Oh, congregation, does the beauty and do the privileges of that church ever ravish your heart? No, the trials not, because that is not according to our flesh, but the graces of that church, the divine right to come to that table. That is a very blessed thing. Why? Because they may come before the whole congregation. Because then they have something. Wait a moment. It is that spiritual life. That divine right, that spiritual life. Oh, why? What would make you jealous of the people? If that is only the outward tokens and the being included in an outward way, it is nothing. It is a piece of bread. It is a little wine. But do you now say, oh, that life, the life of that bride, the life even of those true daughters of Jerusalem, that life that breathes, the life that hungers and that thirsts after righteousness. That is now what I desire, O congregation. Next week, that table that is to be laid out before us, if the Lord is willing. And now what is a worthy partaker? That is not a person that is without sin. No. If that is your thought, you are altogether wrong. It is just the opposite. It is just the opposite. But they are not strangers of their blackness. They are not strangers of their vileness. That is in the first place. Examine yourself. And if we know nothing of that, oh, please, 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 do not eat and drink judgment unto yourself. But they now they are also not strangers of an only hope, of an only expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is received by the revelation of Him in their own heart. That is now the only way that we may possibly know the desires and the life of that bride. Or do we know something of that life? Is He now made altogether lovely in our eyes? Because if He is revealed to us, we will miss Him. We will miss Him. And we will seek Him. And there will come a time that we will also find Him. And then there will also be times
that we will say, O come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. May that be our experience. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but thou knowest the life of thy people and the life that we need. What we miss by nature, we have nothing of that life. But Lord, thou art able to give it unto us. It only can come from thee. We do not deserve it. And we are conceived and born in sin. We go over the world glad with all our carnal things. And we have sinned also in not rightly using thy word. O Lord, there is nothing that can come from us. But we ask it of thee. Wilt thou work, Lord, with might and with power? Wilt thou do it in us? Wilt thou do it in our children? And wilt thou grant us a heart that turns inward now, and that may be given also to look outward, because it cannot be found within us. It is all found in thee and thy dear beloved Son. Grant us then a true self-examination. Visit us in thy mercy. Be with us then in this week. Remember those who hope to be united in holy matrimony. And wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand. And wilt thou gather with us together under thy word in thy house of prayer. Forgive and take away our many sins, and we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this hour. Crown it with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 290 stanzas 1 through 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1 through 5 of Psalter 290. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.